Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's good to be with you today. I'm excited to share with you out of the Gospels. Today we're Luke chapter 10. Where we left off yesterday, we had the 70 that Jesus sent out, kind of like an advance team, to go before him as he was heading from the Galilee area down to Jerusalem. And they came back and reported all of the good things that God had done. And in verse 21, we picked up, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. And he just received the report. He just got the report of these men. And they were filled with joy. And they experienced the power that Jesus talked about. And they were coming back with these stories of victories that they were experiencing in the name of Jesus that they had just witnessed. And Jesus probably looked at them, and he probably saw just these simple people that he sent out. I believe there probably wasn't a PhD among them. They were just simple folks. There could have been a PhD. It doesn't matter. They were just plain, ordinary people who have had experience of the power and dynamic of the power of God within their lives. And that just thrilled the Lord. And he was rejoicing in his spirit as they told of what was done. Isn't that pretty neat to think that Jesus too rejoiced in his spirit? You know, there's a lot of times we think that rejoicing revolves of singing out loud. But I find myself rejoicing in my spirit. It's almost like there's a band going off inside of me that's just rejoicing, that's so excited about the things that God has done. And he said, I thank thee, this is Jesus, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And that was verse 21. O Father, I thank you, he's saying. I thank you for your goodness, that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you revealed them. You've revealed them unto babes. Isn't it interesting today we feel the qualification for ministry is to go into some seminary for a million years and become wise and prudent. And the greatest qualification for ministry is you need to have some type of PhD, or you got to at least have a master's in order that you might become wise and very prudent. Well, of course, real ministry doesn't, that's not the qualification. Real ministry, the qualification is to be underneath the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times that our over-educated minds dismiss that. And so thus we get disqualified for the things that God might want to do through us. I had the joy of help come alongside and run a school that was called the School of Ministry, which was simply a way to equip guys who are wanting to go into the ministry. And it was a two-year course, and I taught various classes in it. And one of the things that I was always amazed at the beginning of the semester, how some 40, 50 guys would come in as they would start their first year, and as they would sit down, their pencils would be sharp, and they'd all be ready to go. And as I would look out at them, sure enough, I would have some lawyers, some doctors, some bankers even, and some truck drivers, a great mix of guys, and then there would be a couple motorcycle guys mixed in. And I remember this one fella who had tattoos from his ankles to his neck, just about. He had them all over. And he had one of those, you know, kind of a rougher look. And when he first started, I kind of looked and I go, oh boy, this guy's going to be interesting, because he didn't really have any formal education per se. But you can look and see in him the potential that God wanted to do in his life. And I could see a real love, a love for God. And sure enough, over the 2 years, as God equipped them, and really all we were helping to do is to help the pastors or young ministers as they would go out to help put more tools in the tool bag, per se. As he went out, it took a few years, but before you knew it, I would hear of stories of him and how God was using him to minister to so many people. See, God takes not only the lawyers, the banker, the motorcycle, guy who loves, that style of life, and he redeems us all. And he's called us all to ministry. But the thing that we make sure we do is we understand it really doesn't come from the wise and the prudent, but that humbleness, as he speaks about the babes in Christ, that we humbly look to God and we're grateful for him, and we allow him to not only to teach us by his Spirit, but also to fill us and to realize all glory belongs unto him for the things that he not only does in us and through us. And verse 22, and Jesus said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and whom the Son will reveal. People really don't know God. They think they know God. They have their own concept and ideas of God, but they don't know God unless Jesus reveals the Father to them. God can only be known by revelation. Was it Zophar who said to Job, who by searching can find out God to perfection? I think that's Job 11:7. God is not discovered through our intellectual quest of a man, but is known through the revelation of the Spirit. Jesus said, he says, no man know who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. And so if you want to know God, ask the Spirit to reveal him to you. No man really knows the Father except to those whom the Son has revealed. In verse 23, and he turned unto his disciples, and he said unto them privately, blessed are the eyes that see these things that you see. You're blessed, he's trying to tell them. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Paul speaks in his epistle of the mysteries that were not revealed in former generation, but are now revealed by the Spirit. And that is that ordinary believers such as you and such as myself can experience the glorious indwelling of Christ in our life. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Peter tells us that the angels desire to look into these things in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The angels are sort of amazed that the grace of God has bestowed upon us. They're amazed that we're able to experience this tremendous grace. They desire to look into these things which God has done to those who believe in him and to trust in him through Jesus Christ. Now we kind of shift gears a little bit here in verse number 25. We read, and there was a certain lawyer that was there, and he stood up tempting him. Another translation says, really what he was doing was to put him on trial, which sounds like what a lawyer was wanting to do. Say, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You remember that this is the question that the rich young ruler had asked Jesus on another occasion. But this man's lawyer, in the other Gospels we read, of a lawyer who asked Jesus a question, which is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus answered him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, strength, and a neighbor as thyself, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. This lawyer is just saying, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus said, in verse 26, you have the law. How do you read it? What does it say? He's saying he was a lawyer. That is, he had studied the law probably on his way that he was able to go through Deuteronomy. He was able to look at different places, and he's probably more like he understood exactly what Jesus was saying. And he said, and he answered, and Jesus, and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy mind and thyself. Otherwise, he says, yes, I've read Deuteronomy. I understand that. And Jesus said, you answered correctly. Do this, and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, But who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus had said actually in these two, that is, loving God supremely and loving your neighbor as yourself, you're actually close to living the life the way God would want you to live. He wanted him to understand that. He wanted him to know that. But then he just simply says, Who is my neighbor? Tomorrow as we get together, or the next time that we get together, we're to look at how Jesus answers that question, Who is our neighbor? You know, as we look at this beautiful portion of scriptures today, we opened up with Jesus rejoicing. We opened up and saw how he was talking and he was praying to the Father. And then he was then telling his disciples about how he should, you know, God has revealed his truth to the humble. God has revealed his truth and wants to send his spirit to those who are ready, to the wise and the proud, and those who say that, hey, I don't need God. They're not going to receive the things of God. But to you, isn't that encouraging to you? God is very interested in you today. He wants to fill you with his spirit. He wants to reveal the truth to you through your word, through his word. I think it's amazing. I could sit down and pray and read the Bible and hear God's voice speak to me through his scriptures. I hope that you experience that this day. Just find yourself a quiet time. Ask God to open up his scriptures to you and just spend some time just reading and listening to God as he speaks to you. And then let's too ask ourselves, who is our neighbors? And as we gather next time, let's listen to what Jesus' response to that question is. And so until next time, may God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.